Blog Talk Radio.
is definitely the day because it is a celebration of Stephanie Welch's book drop, and this is her first. So this is definitely a wonderful honor, privilege, and a pleasure live on Tribe Family Channel to bring to you Spring Fling Literary Festival with Stephanie Welch as she debuts her book, and I'll let her drop that title on you. So, oh, I know that's a teaser, but y'all got to hold tight because I'm going to bring Stephanie on, and she's going to tell us all about her work and passion for writing, what inspired her to write her first book. She's already working on several others. She is ready to blaze the literary world. We've got the calls lit up. We've got family and friends standing by. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Beverly Black, the creator of Tribe Family Channel, live on Spring Fling Literary Festival. I do another show called Soul School Music, y'all, so y'all have to forgive me. I'll be all in the rhythm of the soul. But right now, Stephanie Welch is going to bless the mic and tell us about herself. Welcome, Stephanie, and congratulations. Hey.
Hey, Beverly, thank you so very much. I want to say hi to everybody out there that's listening. Friends and family, and maybe people I haven't seen or spoken to in forever. So just thank you for tuning in today.
That's right. That's right. Thank you for coming to her book drop party. Yay. I am so happy for you and for this labor of love. Hallelujah. Her baby is born, y'all. Y'all have no idea. But you're going to find out today because we've been waiting on this moment. This is like a baby shower, you all. This is like beyond a baby shower. This is like the birth, the baby tear. It's the shower. It's the everything all in one. We've got family and friends standing by. And so before we bring them on, Stephanie, what did you name the baby?
The baby's name, my baby's name is And I'm Thinking, a collection of WTFs. Because it's like, is she serious? WTF? Seriously? I'm like, yeah, and... But WTF, like seriously? But like seriously, like WTF. That's the title.
Did y'all hear that, y'all? That baby got a name. All right, so that's why I didn't want to tell y'all the baby's name, because as most people do, they mess up people's baby's names, and I was not having it. Stephanie, you did your doggone thing. That baby dropped. It is here. I want to know. First, let me commend you. You know, as a beautiful African young woman, African-American, black, whatever you want to call it, soulful, sultry young woman, right? I first want to commend you for walking in your power, walking in your beauty, and walking in your grace, despite, because everyone goes through the vicissitudes of life, and I love that word. That just means that we all get beat up in life. Ain't nobody perfect. And so even through all of my challenges, I keep going. And I admire you because at your age, any challenge that has ever come your way, you trudged through it and you got this book done. And so I want to commend you for the birth of your baby and trudging through the challenges to get here. All right?
Thank you so much. Like, even as I sit here knowing that I started writing And I'm Thinking 3 years ago, I can't believe that this moment is here where the book is, you know, being released and published, and I'm here, you know, speaking with you, someone I admire very much, and just seeing, like, knowing that this moment, knowing that it's really real, like, it's actually happening, and it's happening because of all of the struggles and all of the challenges, and not because it was handed over to me. Like, I really had to, you know, deal with some things and go within and kind of, you know, just communicate with myself to get this done, you know, and get it completed. And so I just thank you for letting me have this process and living in my purpose. Thank you so much.
You know what? I thank the Creator. I thank God for allowing me to be, you know, chosen to cross paths with you. I remember when we first crossed paths, and, you know, I'm always, you know, I go into mentor mode, you know. So I knew that, you know, there was something very gifted and special about you. And so it is really special to be at this point, you know, these years later, because it's like it's the birth, it's the process, it's you know, life doesn't back off you. You still have to get up and go to work, even though you're a writer and want to publish a book. You have to stay up late night editing. The gem you dropped right now was like so mind food for anyone that's considering writing their book. You said even through the challenges of life. And it's like, because the challenges don't just go away and say, oh, you know, oh, you're writing a book. Oh, excuse me, let me go interrupt somebody else's life, right? That doesn't happen, right? And so I just really commend you, like you said, for still standing up to all those challenges. So now, how many chapters? Well, first of all, when were you bitten by that writer's bug? Let's start from the beginning. When did you know you were a writer?
I knew I was a writer from a young age, I'd say about 10 years old. But the thing about me is that I've always struggled with my confidence. And so even though I had the writer's voice and the writer's spirit in me, and I had all types of stories in my mind growing up, and I would, you know, speak about them to my mom, I would tell her like what was coming to me and my ideas and stuff, I would never write anything down because I didn't really believe in myself. And my mom, she would always tell me, like, Steph, why don't you write some of these things down? And I would think, because it's probably not that good. That would always be my thought process. And it was because I compared myself a lot. I would compare myself to, you know, just things that were out there, like in the public eye, just different singers or different TV shows. I would always put other stuff on a pedestal and never my own, you know, soul and my own gifts. But I knew that I had something in me. I just really wasn't listening to what it was. I knew that there was a knack for writing. There was a heart for observation of the world and different cultures and people and the beauty of the world. But did I really love myself enough to go there? Did I have, I had a lot of self-doubt. So nothing ended up on paper until it was like I was exploding with so many words and stories that I had to, you know, take it out because it was like painful. Like I had so much in me because I let it sit dormant for so long that finally it was like it's going to come out no matter what, even if I try to stop it. So I'd say I was, I don't know, maybe 25, 26, and I started doing a lot of noting. I would have different, you know, thoughts and expressions, quotes come to mind. Different ideas, and I would write them down on anything, you know, from grocery store receipts to, you know, envelopes to, like, coupon packets that you get in the mail, stuff like that. Like, everything would just be noted.
Hold that thought right there, because you went from, you always knew as a child around the age of 10 that you were a writer and that you had all of these gifts in you, and so to get them out, you began that process at 25. Now, before you got to that point, you did attend university. So tell us, where do you go to university and what that experience was like?
Sure. So initially out of high school, I graduated in 2000. So shout out to the class of 2000 if anyone is listening. I studied abroad first. I went to Paris, France, and studied there, like an international, you know, program for students that were attending a junior college. From there, I went to Howard University in Washington, D.C., which was amazing. It's a historical black college, and I loved it because it was
Howard, too.
Right? Shout out to Howard, too, anyone that maybe was listening from Howard. But very diverse, even though it's historically black and it is, you know, centered and themed and catered to African American youth and college age students and kids, it was still pretty diverse. I mean, you had the rich black kids, and then you had the, you know, the girls that maybe had to strip for, you know, like be strippers to actually pay their tuition, to like, you know, kids like myself who were considered like middle class growing up. But when I got to Howard, I wasn't even really middle class, because, you know, you're around so many different types of kids that grow up with maybe more or less. And it really didn't matter. You know, mm-hmm. you just were there to learn and, you know, stay rooted in however you grew up, and then get what you came to get from Howard and what it could teach you too. But it was a phenomenal experience. And the East Coast is definitely very different from the West. And I was prepared for that, because my dad would tell me all the time that the East Coast is so different. But I loved it, and I'm really glad that I went to Howard.
And that was so well said, because for our listeners that are, you know, advancing on to college, you know, you said a mouthful there. You know, stayed rooted in who you are, true to you, and then you know, went to Howard and you got what you went there to get, right? And so that's very profound in itself, because it shows and it displays, it evokes focus, extreme focus. And so I also want to commend you for that. Congratulations to your academic achievements. And what did you take out of Howard?
Oh, my goodness, so much. Let's see.
What's your major? What did you...
what did I major? Okay, I thought you meant, like, from the heart. Mm-hmm. What I majored
you, well, you
in
can also go there, but I do want to know what is your degree in and all the all of that. I'd like you to elaborate. And you can go about the heart and all that. It's your show, hey?
I graduated with a degree in communications with a concentration in advertising. But actually what I got from Howard with the heart and stuff, like, I'll just leave that, you know, jewel in my book and, you know, not really speak to that right now, because it's so much. I think I might get tongue-tied. But I'll just say that I did have rich experience there.
And shout out your book again, and where can our listeners, well, you know what, we still have a bit of background work to do in as far as making the book available via ebook and everything, but I think that you'll be surprising your listeners soon with that. But for now, can they contact you via email and request your book? Is there how are you letting your listeners and your audience contact you to get your book? That
right now,
autograph.
I've been doing a lot. I will give my email address out, but for like people that know me on my Facebook page, they know I've been doing a lot of promotion and speaking about the book on there, which I will definitely upload and update. You know, my friends on there about, you know, the actual date and where they can locate the book. But my email address is StephanieWelch24@gmail.com. And so let me go ahead and spell my name and my last name, my first and last name. So Stephanie, StephanyHany, Welch, WELCH, 24, so that would be the number 2 and 4, @gmail.com. And you can always reach me on that email address.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it for yourself. Reach out to StephanieWelch24@gmail.com and go ahead and request that autograph copy, because we all have our own WTF to talk about. And some of the listeners that are holding are actually going to come on the line. They're among the panel of guests that are part of your party and your celebration of your book drop, and they have some WTF of their own. Now, when you speak of a labor of love, of course, I enjoyed having the opportunity to, you know, present to you what you already possessed. It was just a matter of showing you which road to take in order to get to this point. And so that has been an honor for me as a mentor. And you left me a voicemail the other day, and it was so funny because you talked about a picture that I posted with a baby giraffe hugging the neck of an adult giraffe. And I posted that picture, and I said, mentees be like. And you left me a voicemail. You said, it's your mentee. And I just cracked up. I needed that laugh. And so it's been a real, real honor and pleasure to be a mentor and to watch you blossom and grow and develop. And now you're a publisher, businesswoman, and just this all-around, you know, progressive person. So we had our moment.
Can I speak to that really fast?
Sure. It doesn't have to be really fast, but sure.
Well, the publishing process I always thought was going to be so much harder than what it is. I mean, it's not a cakewalk by any means, but I'm so grateful to God for you being in my life, us arriving in each other's lives, and showing me the way. Because honestly, I didn't think that I would have this opportunity just with all of the information that's online, and there was no way I was going to sit in like Barnes and Nobles and like look up all these different publishing books. I would have cried. I would have walked out of there disheveled and like frustrated and like, I can't do this. No way. It's too much. And just,
you would have did what we did back in the day.
Right, exactly. I know.
We
I guess learned. I'm kind of spoiled. I guess I'm kind of spoiled, right, from like the internet and, you know, 21st century lifestyle. But really, just even online, there's all this like, publish today. You know, just spend $1.99 and you're there. And it's like, where am I? Like, what exactly am I doing?
I don't know where I am now. So where am I going with you, right?
Exactly. Like, what is this like, printing? What is this printing publishing process about? And like, mm-hmm. now I just kind of crack up because, of course, I'm a believer in God. So just like the clarity that God allowed into my life about how it really isn't that hard when you have faith, when you believe, when you pray, when you do the work, and even when you're doing the work and you're not sure how you're gonna get to the finish line, just continue. That's what I did. I mean, I'm not the first person to do this and have a goal achieved, and I won't be the last, but I grew as a student of life by just following that sort of thinking, like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing all the way, but I'm just going to trust. And so now I'm like amazed because I look at like your publishing agreement that you set forth and how it's all like, you know, bullet points and very, it's sectioned off. Like, first we complete these four steps, and then we do these four steps, and then we do these four steps, and voila, it's done. So,
and
I tried
to create it where you would need me again if, you know, I mean, I try to empower people. And so I appreciate that you're empowered and that, you know, to get a person beyond the cumbersome pathway, the roads and the roadblocks towards publishing, it is very cumbersome if you don't know. Like you say, you look online and say, okay, I want to publish a book. Okay, search. Okay, now after 51 pages come up, you don't know what link to trust. You start reading about, okay, trusting this, and then you start reading about don't trust that. Then now you don't know what to trust. And so I try to approach people and let them know, one, everyone has a story to tell. I don't care who you are. Your life is playing out, and there's a story in it. So that's one. Two, it is not as hard as you think if someone can guide you along away from the, you know, the
chaos.
List upon list upon list of resources to kind of narrow it down. Okay, well, you know, what are, like you said, the agreement that I spell out, the bullet points, you know, it's to paint a landscape so that you can go back and actually look at that agreement and that landscape and say, okay, I can repeat this process all over again for book two and three and four, so that, you know, you get the mentorship, the consultant, the consultation, excuse me, and then you're not on a fish hook where, okay, keep her snagged and she can only go as far as I teach her. No, I teach you everything, and then if you still need any help, you know, I'm here. But basically, I put it out there so that you can, you know, walk through that same document again. You can look at it and check your progress as you go along with, you know, your publishing process, and then you can replicate it. And so that, I think, is what good mentoring does, because now you will also be able to, you know, tell other people, you know, how that process works. And, you know, there's all kinds of stories out there still waiting to be told. Now, there are so many people on the line, and I know there is a very, very special someone that this process began with before I came into the process. And so I would like for you to introduce to our listeners at your party to your mother.
Okay. Well, this is the one and only mother I have, of course, and I just would love to introduce her to everyone listening out there. Her name is Ruth. We call her Ruthie. Actually, her first name is Edith, which I think is so cute. When I was younger, I was like, Edith. But now I think, like, Edith, that's different, and it's unique, and she's my mom. She's amazing. She's been a great support through this whole process. She's
thank you, baby.
You're welcome, Mama. Countless dollars I don't have, supporting me and helping me see this dream come to fruition. So this is my mom, and she's a lover. She's a lover. She's a fighter, but she's also much more of a lover than she's a fighter. And she can speak to the book. She's featured in the book a few different times, and she has some WTFs that she could speak to, Mom.
Mm-hmm. Hi,
Mom.
Hi, everybody.
Well, welcome,
really
Ruth.
Hi, how are you?
Hi,
I'm sitting here with...
Welcome to...
Thank you,
welcome
Vanessa.
Welcome to Sprinkling Literary Festival. Just welcome to Tribe Family Channel.
Thank you. We're so happy to be here and so happy to speak on Stephanie's behalf, my lovely daughter, and her nephew is here too, Evan.
Hi,
hello.
Hi,
Evan.
Hi, nephew.
He said he's going to.
He's so cute.
But I wanted to talk about his very first WTF. It is the 15th story in the book.
Wait before you get to that, because that's kind of like, you know, you're robbing the audience of your experience with your daughter towards publishing. So this is like the birth of a grandchild.
Yes,
I'm like,
yes, it is. My daughter, my granddaughter, I'll say.
Your granddaughter, this is the birth of your granddaughter. So how does that feel? Your grandbaby's finally here.
Well, I'm just over the moon about it, really. I'm very excited. I can remember when Stephanie spoke to all the different notes and things that she would write. I have to admit, I would see all of these little sticky notes and envelopes and papers and just notes everywhere, and I thought, what the heck? She's writing, like, everything down, and I didn't know. She hadn't told me that she was writing a book. So I didn't know that she was writing a book. I just thought, why is she writing every little thing down? You know, I would just see notes, and I mean on everything, napkins or a Post-it or just anything
just
you could
like
find.
Just like you said, right, Stephanie?
Yeah,
and I'm like, what the heck's going on? As her mother, you know, you're like, what is she doing? She's writing everything down. And so then I find out, you know, a few years later, she kept me in limbo for a long time, that she was writing this. And I was really proud of her. I mean, you know, the fact that she would actually sit and put it in writing was really amazing, because Stephanie always kept everything to herself, you know. And so when I started seeing some of the stories, I just told her, I said, Stephanie, this is really good. It's truly an amazing story. And how do you remember all these things? I mean, I think that's the thing that amazed me the most.
I know. That's the thing that she just finds really, fascinating. Like, how do you remember so much? I'm like, I just do.
I couldn't believe it. Everything. And so the book to me is just amazing, and it'll make you cry, it'll make you laugh, it'll make you think, oh my gosh, did she actually have to go through this? Because all of the stories in the book are true stories. And so it's pretty amazing.
Wow.
And I'm extremely proud of it. What?
Yeah, she told me that she had a hard time getting through it. Like, it made her uncomfortable to read some of it, you know.
That is actually good, because, you know, you don't want someone to lull through the book and say, okay, and slam it shut. You want someone to, let me think about that. Wow, did she really go there? Did that really happen? And then, you know, I can remember reading or listening to, say, my daughter's lyrics. I have a daughter that's a rapper. Okay. You all will always be our babies. So when you grow up and you start talking like women, it takes us aback. Like, oh, my child.
It really does.
So I can understand.
Yeah,
I mean, it was just the Ruth that
she had to go through. They were very, very heartwarming and very heartfelt. Mm-hmm. And some are, for her mom, some are sad, you know. And so it was very difficult mm-hmm. to read. I would have to put it down mm-hmm. and then pick it back up and just realize that my baby girl had been through some stuff, you know. And so, all of it was just part of her growing up, you know.
Right. That life also dealt her, you know, a hand that would strengthen her and, you know, smooth her out over here and put her through the eye of the needle over there and, you know, put you through the refiner fire over here, and you be like, oh, Lord, I swear this, and you coming out pure gold.
The thing that she said, she made a comment to me after she finished reading the book, and she said, it leaves you wanting more. And I love that.
That's
because
right.
It's like, yeah, I don't know that
does,
I'll ever write another, you know, collection of WTFs. I plan to, but if I don't, that's cool. But also just knowing that she was kind of craving or interested in more of my writing, you know, gave me confidence.
Yes, it did.
And that's a fat book, okay? So for you to be able to, I mean, that's a labor of love, 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 love. That's why I don't negate to call it your baby that you have truly given birth. And, you know, without going into any details, I will say that we shared a very special bond, I feel, the three of us, in this as the mother, the grandmother, and the midwife. I'm the midwife, okay? And we shared a special bond where Stephanie being the mother, Ruth being the grandmother, it was like that special bond when we went out and had lunch and mm-hmm. our emotions ran high, because it's truly like Stephanie was pregnant. It's truly like, you know, the grandmother's extending, wanting the baby just as much as, you know, the mother. And then mm-hmm. I'm over here like, okay, I'm not getting in the middle of that, but I'm all in the middle of it. But I know that, you know, we're going through labor pains, right? And it's life. And it just, it makes you mature. It brings you to a point of emotions. And we had a crying, hugging moment. And ladies, I just want to tell you that to me was that pivotal bonding moment when I felt like, wow, these are my girls, y'all, you know. So I just wanted to say that. And you all remember what day that was. It was a beautiful day.
Yes, I do. It was awesome.
I think what's so interesting about that is I was I was really going through labor pains, and I was, like, moody and emotional and tired. And I've never actually given birth. I don't have my own child. So my first book is, you know, symbolic in that way, in that nature of, like, becoming a mother for the first time. Even though I know it's, you know, nothing like the real thing, but I did have to push a lot to get this book out.
But you go through all of that. You do absolutely go through all of that, though. It's, like, metaphoric.
I know. And I'm just honoring other mothers, like, women who I admire so much, like, all of my friends, Facebook friends. I have Facebook friends that have just recently had babies, and their babies are beautiful, and I'm liking their pictures. And, you know, for me, I'll be 35 years old on February 14th, so, like, I guess in a week or so. And I don't have my own kids, but I really look up to women that mother and raise our babies out here, you know. And I'm not saying that giving birth to a book is the same thing, but I will say I struggled so much during these last 3 years with this book, and I went from being so hot and heavy and, like, ready to just rip the child out of my gut to, like, now I'm so calm. I don't know, is that normal? Like, I'm so calm, like, oh yeah. Yeah,
I know,
baby,
right?
Whatever.
I know, right?
Well,
that, that's truly amazing.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Truly amazing. It was a birthing process for Stephanie, and we all went through it. Trust me. So, yeah, the only difference is you get to sleep now. And if it was a baby, you wouldn't get to sleep.
Okay. But she's awake now. Trust me, she wakes up and has to write stuff down because she's pregnant with more. Now I want to upcoming birthday
for Stephanie that she's found her writing niche, and the fact that she's got other books out there just amazes me. It truly amazes me and makes my heart really proud. You know. That she can actually do this. I mean, you know, I never told her, but I always wanted to be a writer, and I never found it. So I'm just really, really proud that she did it. So,
bless your heart. Let me just say this. Stephanie, you said your birthday is February 10th?
Oh, yes, 14th.
Your birthday is February. When is your birthday?
February
Valentine's
14th.
Day?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So I am going to offer you can think about it as a birthday present, February 11th, if you would like to go see the Shy Lights and Black Street and several other artists in San Jose, that would be my birthday present to you. Marshall Thompson, the last man standing of the Shy Lights, as you know, is my brother from another on Soul School Music, and they will finally be in California, and so I want to invite you and Ruth, you and your husband can also go if you'd like. That would be a beautiful Valentine's Day present. You don't have to answer now because it ain't about us right now. It's about this party for Stephanie. Hey, so now Ruth, you have a WTF, and I can so relate to that. When I went through the list of guests, and we're going to get to our guests in a sec, our other guests in a sec, rather, but when I read your WTF, Ruth, I said, oh, my God, I had one of those, but not myself. I saw on someone else, and, I mean, it was a WTF. So now what is your inspiration out of Stephanie's book? What's your selection? Tell us about it.
Well, my selection is, it's actually her very first WTF ever. Now, she does have a few others that I really like, but this one is really special because I happened to be there, and I happened to see the look on Stephanie's face when it happened. I didn't realize after all these years going to write a story about it, but it's the 15th story in the book, and it's called Big Ass Long Toenail. And now you have to understand Stephanie is, she can be really hilarious too, okay? But this was a very serious moment for her. And it was a moment when she was like, I want to say 5 or 6 years old. And I had just started working for the University of California Office of the President, and I was working in Berkeley. And I had taken Stephanie into the office that day, and we went down to a food truck that was parked out front on the sidewalk. It was the Wells Fargo building, I believe, on Addison and Shattuck in Berkeley. And there was a little food truck that was selling bagels and things, and I went down, and Stephanie was with me, and we were buying, you know, something for breakfast. And I'm paying attention, and as a little girl, Stephanie's just kind of running around and looking at things, and I'm trying to watch her out of the corner of my eye, but at the same time, I'm trying to pay the lady for the bagels. And all of a sudden, I look over at Stephanie, and she's got this look in her eye like, what the heck? You know, at 6 years old, that's all I could think of. I wouldn't WTF. I would think, what the heck? You know, I look over, and there's a homeless man there. Now, Stephanie was very, shall I say, protected as a little girl, and she hadn't really seen a homeless person yet. And
right,
so her
right.
eyes were huge, and she just goes, Mom, what the, you know. And I laughed so hard. It was a homeless man, and he had, not that we were laughing at him, because we were not laughing at
right,
him.
Right, right, right.
But
this is a child. This is an innocent child. She has never seen and been
totally
exposed. I mean, she, there's not homeless in her beautiful home.
Right. She is seeing something for the first time that kind of startled her and made her question,
right.
What the, you know, there's people out
that?
There like, you know, Mom, what is that? And that
right,
actually,
right, right.
Her very first WTF. I mean, who can
that
remember
is,
and what makes so proud of
Stephanie? Well, let me just say this. He had a really, really long toenail. Like, I don't care how protected someone is. I don't care how sheltered they are. You know, when you walk outside, inside of the world, at whatever age, even now, and you see someone, if they're homeless, if they're not homeless, and they have the longest toenail you've ever seen in history, you're
yeah.
just like, wow, why?
Yeah.
Why would you do this? Why would you do this to yourself?
Oh,
and then I kind of, and I really sort of felt for him, too. It wasn't like, man,
right.
what's wrong with him? It was more like, what's going on?
Right, you had empathy.
Listen.
You didn't know, like,
yeah.
what's wrong? Right, exactly.
There was a lot of empathy.
You know what?
But, you know,
now
the world just kept giving me more and more WTFs as I went on. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, they don't stop.
But it was
well,
it was
you know what?
The...
I have to say something. I have to say something about that, because when I read that Ruth was going to talk about big-ass toenail, I was like, oh, my God. I remember the first time I told Stephanie, I had a WTF, because I, you know, when Stephanie and I got together, of course, you know, we have the age gap, you know, she's like, you know, my daughter's age, my kid's age. So I've got to, you know, catch the lingo and the slang and this and the that. I got to be right up to speed. Okay, now what do you mean here and this and that? I don't want her to go through all that training trying to get me up to speed on the WTF. So I had to pick out, you know, what I could, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when I saw this about the toenail, I was like, oh, my God. And when I first told her that I had my own WTF moment, it was like a real W. And I know you remember that, Stephanie. You came over my house, and I couldn't wait to tell you about the WTF. But I got to tell you about this long toenail. I walked by someone that was not homeless, but they just happened to have their foot out. Okay. I saw the longest toenails crawling over the top of their toes, and I was like, what? He said, now don't get on me. He raised up in a rough voice to get me to back off and not question, what is this circling your toe? Circling your toe. Did you hear? Well, I said, ladies and gentlemen, I said circling your toe. Now, that's a long toenail, Ruth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a really long toenail. This toenail was long.
Well, needless to say, my perspective on life changed that day. You know, you just never know where the WTF is going to come from and how it's going to affect you, and that changed my life.
I kind of wanted to read the last two chapters of that story, if that's okay. I mean, the last two paragraphs. It's really short. Can I read
it? Okay, I was going to say, now, chapters, we're not going to be here tomorrow.
We ain't got that much time.
Go ahead, Ruth.
Paragraphs of WTF, big ass long toenail. And it says, and I'm thinking, when my mom's eyes came over to mine, I was a kid changed, moved by a big ass long toenail. Like, seriously, little me forklifted on over to harsh actualities the sky may or may not have revealed. An exchange not by words, like, for some reason, inside of me, without what was already known, I cared, because it's like shifting. Without the bricks trying to trick the sky from seeing me spiritually climb, some things would be exactly what they seemed. And
wow, and Stephanie is so deep. I love the way she writes, the way she evokes, you know, her thought processes. And then the first time I heard her speak, it was just, like, amazing. But you know what? What I'm also taking away from that is it's the cultural observations and differences. And, you know, it's even today, like, I would take my daughter to concerts in San Francisco Market Street, and I'd go to this hot dog place on the corner because of the way it was situated in a triangular-like fashion, and I'd sit in the window and just watch life go by, and it is a trip. It is about the same as her making that observation at 6. I could sit there in that window and just look and gasp and just take in life. And it's not that I don't have empathy. If I see something funny, it's funny. If I see something crazy, it's crazy. If I see something weird, it's weird. It's not that I don't have empathy, like Stephanie had empathy for a situation that she knew not of. But it's life going by, the scenes of life, planned past, you know. So I just wanted to throw that in. We have so many guests holding, but you know what? We're not going to get to everybody, but I do want to do this. I want to get to those that are on this list. So ladies and gentlemen, let me bring on someone that is also close to Stephanie, near and dear, and it is going to be Cameron, and I'm opening that mic right now. So, Stephanie, will you introduce Cameron for us?
I sure will. What's up, Cam?
Hey, Steph. How you doing? Hey, ladies.
Good. So, Cam is one of my friends and former coworkers. We work together at a grocery store, actually. And he, just seeing him in the town that we live, which is always great. And then before I even worked with him, I just would see him and I would, like, look and see a light in him. And I would know, like, there's something there. There's something really special. There's a person there that wants to grow. And then getting to know him and working with him, he became, like, a confidant to me. And he's very special, and I'm just glad to have him on today with me. And also, he's in my book several times, so you know he's special because he ended up in my book a bunch of times. So thank you for coming on, Cam.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
yes, welcome to Tribe Family Channel Spring Fling Literary Festival, and it is Stephanie's book drop part A. So Cameron, what's your WTF? What is your experience with this young lady, this brilliant writer, publisher, businesswoman?
I had a couple of WTF moments that I was involved in. Which one should we go into first? Or do you want to go into?
Well, now, why don't you go into my life, and then you can go into Young Friend Insurance.
Oh, okay. So
does that sound all right?
The my life. I'm in the my life. WTF. I do. so funny. I remember that, like, it's like I almost do remember that, like it was yesterday, because I saw her running, and I was just like, wow, like, she really did look like you were, I mean, you really did look like you were running. You were running from something, and I was just like, oh, man.
See, the thing is, I used to run, Cam would see me run the track and field at Merced High School, and it's across the street from the grocery store where we worked at. I'd be over there. Rain, sleet, snow, which we don't have in California, but if we did have it, it wouldn't have mattered. I'd have been over there running. And so I had to work one day, and he was already at work, and he was outside. He was just outside. And so I'm trying to jet home really fast to my apartment so I can get cleaned up and ready for work. I only had like 10 minutes to do so. But that morning I was suffering really bad from some depression stuff. And so when I woke up that morning, I did not want to go to work. But I'm like, if I'm going to go to work, let me get this run in, and that way I can try to beat off this depression as best I can and run it off. And so he saw me after that, and I just looked like a hot mess, like heaping sweat beads, you know, just face, just looking like I ran for my life. And
yeah,
it's funny. Yeah, go ahead, Cam. You can say it. You can tell the rest.
Oh, yeah, no, and it's not that. I don't think that, because my thing on that is, like, once I've seen you at your best or your worst, you know, that stuff doesn't really matter. You know, that stuff doesn't really matter. But it did, I could just tell that something was bothering you from knowing you the time that I've known you and talking to you.
Yeah, well, in the book, he approaches me because I was sampling, like I was doing a demo with like a sample tasting apples and caramel spread. And so he came up to me and he was trying to get a little snack. And so I was like, here, Cam. And he was like, hey, how you doing? And I was like, I'm good. And I was like, I know when you saw me earlier, I was looking a hot mess. And he was like, yeah, you look like you were running for your life. And in the book I go, because I'm like, and I'm thinking, well, damn, I was running for my life. Because here it is.
Wow.
That, yeah, so that's kind
wow.
of the aha moment. It's like he's like, yeah, you look like you're running for your life. And I'm like, well, I was.
Wow. So he actually named that a line. Well, it's like confirmation. You hear it once, so you had already told yourself, I'm going to run this off. You know, I'm running for my life. I'm going to run this off. And then you heard it a second time, so that was the confirmation. And so, yes, you absolutely were. And, you know, you dropped a gem for our listeners and anyone that's dealing with depression. I was actually going to do a show January 22nd on depression, but I was going through well, there was a death in the family, I'll put it like that. And so we didn't get to do the show on depression. But it is real. People experience it. And, Stephanie, I want to commend you for being open, for being honest, and for dropping tools. That was like, okay, you did not let it overcome you. You got up and you fought and you ran and you won. And look, it's in the book. So, ladies and gentlemen, y'all better email Stephanie, Stephany Welch, Welch, 24, the numbers 24, at gmail.com, and copy your own WTF. Now, Cameron, thank you for that. Share Young Friend Insurance. That's not a friends with benefit type thing. Is it y'all ain't gonna get this Tribe Family Channel, y'all? Huh? What's
no,
that talking about?
And Kim.
No.
You know there are all kind of WTFs in this book. I'm not gonna lie, but this particular one is definitely not about any freaky deakiness.
Okay, let me calm down over here. All right, well, what's going on with the Young Friend Insurance, Cameron, at this party?
You know, and I got to embarrass her a little bit now. There was such a long line of people who were trying. It was really like, oh, my goodness.
That's
You're
funny.
Breaking up, Cameron. What did you say?
Oh, hold on. Let me turn the Bluetooth off. I got the. Hello.
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello. Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
We can hear you now.
Okay. So, okay. Yeah. So, a little background. We live in a really country, you know, really country town, small town.
I'm familiar with Central Valley, Cali.
Yeah, Central Valley. Not a lot of.
We'll just keep it like that. Central Valley, Cali, y'all.
Yes. It's specifically this part of Central Valley. You know.
Thank you. Another lie.
Yeah.
I know.
So not a lot of black folks out here. You know, especially not a lot of black folks comfortable with being themselves. And so I think when a lot of them saw Stephanie, that was something foreign. So
my take in the area is about being progressive. My observation is that I did not see, even after the university was built, because I was in Central Valley, Cali, before before the 10th California University was built, and I don't see the difference, and I'm an advocate for literacy. That town is where I founded my publications. I was in that town. And so what brought me back to that town is because the rent is the same, but I didn't expect the mindset to be the same because of the, you know, progressiveness, the university, this, that, and the other. So I know exactly what you're talking about. But now you were saying that there was this long line. They were trying to get it. Stephanie, now is this a long line of young friends trying to get benefits? What's going on?
Oh, I ain't trying to get too much. But, people just wanted to know. Old, young, it just didn't matter. The age range was from 19 to, 65.
Okay, so now let's break it down, all right? Now, because, Ruth, do you hear all this beating around the bush? Okay, so basically, they see beautiful Stephanie.
Can I say something about it? Cam, I was nervous giving you young friend insurance because I had to call you out a little bit in the story. Like, did you feel?
I noticed that because I was like, wait. Because I didn't read, I read the other one before. But I didn't read the young friend insurance before, and I was like, "Oh wow!" I was like, "Oh no!" I'm the only end. Yeah.
But it was out of love, Cam. It's because I care about you.
It was out of love. Yeah, it was out of love. And my only thing was, the only guesso gripe, or not really gripe, is that it's stuff that already been known. It's just I didn't really want to.
Right.
I didn't really care to share or talk about it because not a lot of people really, really care. And I was really, really, really angry at that, at that point.
You were, and it was a beautiful
anger. I got to go get this book. It's what you said it would be,
Cam, it was actually a really beautiful anger, but because I had already experienced it from so many different people, I was in my own zone. But it was really, I wrote it from a place of like, man, Cam has so much to offer this world, but he has to find his own voice. I get exactly
that
where he was coming from. But, I don't know. I won't break it down too much, but Cam, you can go ahead and share a little bit if you'd like from like just the overall summary of like what you think I was trying to say with Young Friend Insurance.
Yeah. Basically what I got from it is, dealing with discrimination, I guess. And so, and your place in the world and basically time and place, time and place, but when to speak on things and, you can't necessarily, tell how you feel, keep it real and tell it how you feel when you're an employee.
Yeah, exactly.
Or when you're a minority, you have to, you know, move in silence, you know, play your part, and when it's your, you know, and do your moves and make your moves the best way so you can transition out, sort of like what you did, like writing your book, and, you know, and you put your time in and you got out, you know.
I think that's right.
Go ahead, Mom.
I just have to say, I think this book is going to make a lot of people realize a lot of things. The book makes you think. It really makes you think. I mean, it's like I say, it's a funny book. It's exciting. It's sad. But it makes you think. I mean, And I'm Thinking is a serious name. And I think people are going to be really excited because every single story in it is going to make you think, well, wow, you know. And there may be other people that are going to be a little upset about some of the stuff that's in here, but it's going to make them think. And that's the whole point.
And you know
really.
What? That is exactly. That is a good way to summarize and end the show. It is going to make you think. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank all of you for attending this Spring Fling Literary Festival, announcing and debuting Stephanie Welch's WTF. We want to thank you, Stephanie, for allowing not only me to participate in you and the publication of your book as a mentor, but as a friend, the times that we shared during the process from meeting up to now, it went beyond the book. You know, you and my daughter have had a lot of talks and time together, and I really appreciate all that you have imparted to her. It's made me more confident in her getting out into the world, having, you know, had those talks and the benefit of your friendship. Ruth, I want to thank you so very much for allowing me to share in, you know, mentoring with your daughter. And, you know, when I first met her, of course, you know, I wanted to make sure that you were assured that your daughter was in good hands. And Cameron, I want to thank you for being here. I want to thank you for participating as Stephanie's friend. And
really quick, Stephanie's nephew.
Let me say this, and I'll let Evan. But I want to say last but not least, because Stephanie's heart angel watching over her, Mr. Stephen Welch. We want to thank you for allowing us to partake in her life, your gem, your joy, your daughter. I want to thank you. And speaking of men, I understand we've got a young man over there that wants to talk. Who is that over there want to talk, Ruth?
Hi, everybody. Hi, baby. Hi, baby. My name is Evan, and I am going to talk about something in my auntie's book.
Hi, Evan. Welcome to Trot Family Channel. Talk about what's in your auntie's book. And remember me, Evan? I'm the friend that came over, Beverly, and we did the acting and our thing. You remember that?
Yes.
All right. High five. So go ahead. You have the floor. Talk to us. Go ahead. Tell us what you want to tell us.
I saw red in Evan's cheeks, the blood rising in his little body.
Are you reading it?
Oh,
he was reading a line out of his story called Evan.
Oh,
and
precious.
It talks,
how precious.
Grandma and Stephanie were having a little bit of an argument one day, and Evan spoke up in Grandpa Steve's voice and said, calm down, calm down, calm down. And he basically made us stop, and he sounded just like his grandpa.
What?
Yes.
Am I serious?
Yes.
OMG.
Oh, he's
how
excited
is that? Wow. Now, look at God, because I cut you off to talk about Steve, not knowing Mr. Welch raining.
Isn't that
in heaven, looking down, and you're leading right into that because God, and Stephanie, what did I say? First you hear it one time, then you'll get it second, confirmation, okay?
Isn't that
so
amazing?
Praise God.
Yeah, it actually chills
so
when
amazing.
You started talking about Steve because I knew that Evan was getting ready to comment on that story.
Started commenting.
Yeah. Isn't that
wow,
something amazing?
Wow, that is
say,
something.
I just want to say, closing out, that you know, I never said what the WTF stands for. I think most people know that it's an acronym for what the F-U-C-K.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a, you know, kind of harsh, what I would like to call naughty word. But it is very popular and spoken amongst so many different people all the time. And, you know, I just wanted to share and relate to others. And so I chose that, you know, those three letters to do it. And so, and I'm thinking a collection of WTFs, you know, it's not a book that tries to, like, solve any one big problem. It doesn't act like it has the answer to, you know, any healing the world all at once. It's not even a self-help book. But for me, it has been very helpful and healing. And I just pray and hope that anyone who's interested in tuning in, reading and supporting the book will trust it, will trust the material, trust the real life experiences, and will have a really good time reading it. Like, they'll have a good time with themselves. That's really what my heart says for this book. And I'm just thankful that it's done. I'm thankful that there are people interested out there that would like to go there with me. And I'm just praying that it resonates where it's going to resonate, and that's it.
And that's beautiful.
And that is it, ladies and gentlemen. Stephanie has had the final say, so you better go out and get that book. I want everyone listening to email Stephanie, STEPHANYWELCH, the number 2, the number 4, at gmail.com. You can email tribefamilychannel@gmail.com for any show requests if you're planning on attending this literary festival. We would love to have you. Thank you, Ruth, for being here. Thank you, Cameron. We're going to go back out on Celebrate. But, Stephanie, I just want to say, girl, you did it. You did it. You did it. And this is your celebration. So congratulations. And, Evan, we will see you soon. So God bless everyone, and be sure to tune in again on Tribe Family Channel. And you can follow us. Our show studio page is blogtalkradio.com/Gumbo for the Soul. We are a Gumbo for the Soul International family brand. You can follow us on Twitter at Tribe Family US. I am Beverly Black. I'm the creator of Tribe Family Channel International, Tribe Family Channel Publications. Or excuse me, I am the creator of Gumbo for the Soul International, Gumbo for the Soul Publications, Tribe Family Channel Radio Show, Soul School Music, and our newly launched Hip Hop You Don't Stop every Friday. So we will be seeing you all soon. God bless you, ladies and gentlemen, and continue to celebrate. Hey, all right, peace and blessings, y'all. Have a good evening.
All right,
bye,
you too.
Mama.
Much.
Bye, Ev. Thank
bye.
You. Bye. Love you. Love you.
Come on.